Well, good Sunday morning to everyone. Hi, this is Steve Sappington. Welcome to Enriching People's Lives. This is the first Sunday in February 2010. Welcome. We're glad to have you join us. We hope that your weekend has been good. We hope you've already been to a worship service or you're getting ready to go. And we're looking forward to sharing some great information with you this morning. We're happy to be here with you. We're thankful for you. We appreciate the encouraging words that we get, and we're excited about being a blessing to you. Lord has blessed us, and we're blessed to be a blessing. So thanks for joining us. Again, my name is Steve Sappington, if this is your first time to tune into the show. And the name of our show is Enriching People's Lives. I'm in the financial services business, and our slogan is to enrich people's lives, not just their finances. We think we would be doing someone an injustice if we made them wealthy, but they lost their health, or they lost their family, or they didn't have success and significance in all the other areas of their lives also. So we thought that that would be a nice name for the show, because we want to cover a lot of things, not just finances. We want to cover a lot of spiritual issues. We want to talk about some political things, and we want to talk about some health issues and fitness, a lot of the things that interest me. So I hope some of them interest you. We'll probably talk about flying some, since I'm a pilot. And by the way, I just started working on my instrument rating, IFR. So hopefully I'll be able to fly in all types or lots of more types of weather. Even if there are clouds, I'll be able to follow the instruments. And so hopefully within the next few months, I'll have that rating. And we're excited about that. So I want to remind all of you that the first person who calls us or emails us, you'll receive a free copy of our book. The name of our book is Today's Word on Money. That's Today's Word on Money. You can go to our website. That's www.todayswordonmoney.com, and you can read more about the book there. There are sample chapters. There are endorsements of people who have read the book. You can sign up to follow us on Facebook or Twitter, or you can read our blog. I just made a new entry on my blog, and I think you'll enjoy that. It's about Google Voice, and it's about my new Motorola Droid phone. Some good information there. But anyway, if you would like to receive a free copy of the book, the first person that contacts us and says, "Hey, Steve, send me a copy of the book," you can either call us at 751-0565. Of course, that's area code 254. And I say that because on our website, you can really listen to all of the previous shows, really anywhere around the world. So we log those, we archive those. So if someone is listening to this and you want to know how to contact us, you can do it that way. It's 254-751-0565, or you can email us at sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com. Or you can just go to the website, and there's a tab there where it says Contact Us, and you can click on that, and that will automatically pull up the email address for you. You can even click on a little button there that says Call Us, and it will dial the phone for you. And that's a neat way. You can look on the website also. You can read sample chapters of the book. You can, let's see, what else you can do? Oh, you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Our blog, of course, is there. Is a link to the blog is there. You can read our old newsletters. You can subscribe to receive the newsletters. We send out a monthly newsletter by email. And again, there's an archive of the shows. So there's a tab there at the top of the screen that says Shows. You just click on that, and you can go back all the way to when we started this show in November. So thanks for joining us again. We want to get on and have some great information to share with you. I want to read, first of all, a couple of excerpts from my book. This first one is, we just celebrated Martin Luther King's birthday here a couple of weeks ago. And this is a little brief notation that I made. It's in part of the book, and it was in celebration of Martin Luther King's birthday. The name of the chapter is The Content of Their Character. During the presidential campaign back in 2000, it dawned on me how much American mores have changed since the 1960s. On August 28, 1963, Martin Luther King, whose birthday we recently celebrated, stood on the steps of the Lincoln Memorial and said, among other things, that he had a dream that someday his children would be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. By the fall of 2000, what's that, 37 years later, Al Gore, who was trying to distance himself from President Clinton, said he didn't want to discuss character, but instead he wanted to focus on issues. Now, like Dr. King, I believe that character is the issue. Now, let me hasten to add that Mr. Gore's position on character is not unique to Democrats. But let's look at what a Christian view of character should look like. My good friend and mentor, Patrice Sage, who was born in Cameroon, Africa, and whose mother still serves in that country's government, discusses character in his Biblical Entrepreneurship course number one. Patrice shares from Acts 6:3 the character traits that the apostles wanted in the men who would serve as deacons to the early church. Patrice defines character as, quote, the combination of spiritual, moral, and ethical qualities that publicly distinguish a person, i.e. reputation. Integrity is, quote, the state of completeness, how people behave or the choices they make when no one is watching, quote. Being full of wisdom is, quote, the ability given by God to use good judgment and to act according to the knowledge and understanding of God's word, end quote. So that's from Acts 6:3. Now, a few weeks before the election in 2000, I sent a letter to the editor of the Waco paper. Of course, since then, the Waco Herald Tribune has changed owners. And maybe they're a little more open-minded now. I believe so. Hope so. Anyway, the letter that I sent to the editor was not printed. Basically, it was a tongue-in-cheek letter that was urging voters to join the new political party that I said that I wanted to start. The name of this fictional party was the CRASH Party, the Crash Party, and it stood for Citizens' Rights on All Streets and Highways. I said that no one had the right to make me drive only on the right-hand side of the road. I should be able to drive on both sides whenever I wanted. Now, to me, this is the type of argument that I hear people making when they want more, quote, rights, whether it be gay rights or many other rights. In other words, even if it kills them, they believe that they should have the right to live however they want. And as I said in a previous lesson in this book, although I'm saddened by their choices, I defend their right to make them. But I should not be obligated to, quote, pick up the pieces which result from their poor choices. I would pick up the pieces by having to pay more costly health insurance premiums or extra tax dollars. In other words, I'll pray for them and I'll exercise my freedom of speech to point out my beliefs. But in the end, I believe they should be allowed to choose life or choose death, just like the Bible says in Deuteronomy. But I think that the way smokers are treated, for example, provides a good model for how we should treat those who make other poor health choices. Those who make good choices in the areas of exercise, diet, biblical monogamy, for example, should receive such incentives as premium insurance ratings, prime health care coverage, reduced prices, things like that. So, you know, we can treat these issues. They are health issues. They're not just rights issues because, again, for example, a person's right to smoke, I think they should have that right, but I should also have the right to breathe clean air. And so that applies to many other behaviors, whether they're sexual behaviors or physical health behaviors. You know, they do affect our health. So I think that that model gives us a way to look at those types of behaviors. Thus, it's my prayer that Christ followers will more fully manifest the lifestyle differences which reflect a truly renewed inner character that can only result from knowing Jesus. See 2 Corinthians 2:14 for more. And then more people will not be deceived by any lie that promises the kind of joy that only Jesus can give. By the way, I highly recommend Patrice Sage's Biblical Entrepreneurship courses. he has three courses, one, two, and three. By course number three, which I've taken, you actually part of the process of going through the course, you're involved in writing a business plan. And I really, for a lot of people, I would encourage them to take the courses. You can take them online. And the weekly lessons are you listen to it's a group teleconference, and then you do some work online. But I would encourage even people who are, don't own their own business, that you just want to be a stellar employee. You want to do your very best and to be a blessing. You know, there are a lot of people, like, for example, Joseph. Look at the times and the different ways that he showed himself valuable to his boss. And eventually he became the second most powerful person in the most powerful country in the world at that time, Egypt. And so there are ways that you can be a good steward. You can be a blessing to the owner, even if you never own your own business. And so, again, I think the principles that are taught, it just amazed me when I went through these courses at what I learned about what the Bible says about business and how to conduct yourselves, what the Bible says about profit, about retirement, about many issues like this. I've written about some of these in my book. So, again, I just this is a shameless plug. I hope you'll get the book. You can purchase the book on my website, Today's Word on Money. And, again, if there's someone here who's just tuned in, go to todayswordonmoney.com and read samples of the book. You can order the book there. You can sign up for our newsletters or listen to previous radio broadcast shows that we do here on KSUR. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can read testimonials of people who've read the book. So a lot of good information on our website. And the first person who calls or sends us an email will receive a free copy of that book. So it's still an e-book, electronic form, and we're praying that the Lord will show us the right publisher. So we need a publisher that can really help us with a great marketing plan that will show us how to get more interviews and when to go to a book signing, where to have the book signings, how to get radio interviews and so forth. So if any of you know a person that could help us with that, that's connected with a publisher, please, we would appreciate your helping us meet that person, right? Introducing us. I would greatly appreciate that, and would appreciate your prayers that we would find a publisher with whom we're equally yoked. You know, one of the neat things about Facebook and Twitter is that I have actually friends now in other countries. People I haven't met, but they heard about my book, or they heard they have a mutual friend and they liked what they saw on my Facebook pages or on my Twitter posts. And so I got a friend request recently from evidently a really neat lady, and she lives in England, the United Kingdom. And she actually publishes a magazine. The name of the magazine is Christian Business, I believe. Let me see here. Yeah, Christian Biggest Business Magazine. So if you'll go to www.christianbusinessmagazine.com, you can find out more about her magazine. But let me share with you a recent post that she did here on the magazine. It was dated January 26th. Says, thank you for all the comments received from the post Assignment, Purpose, Destiny, Somebody Help Me. Your comments were overwhelming, and I must admit some of them brought tears to my eyes. If you're new to this newsletter, or you didn't have an opportunity to read it, I recommend that you do. The post is on our two websites, www.christianbusinessmagazine.com and www.purposeforchrist.com. I'm trying to put my detailed understanding of the subject into an ebook, so watch this space. In my last post, I mentioned the importance of ensuring that your natural skills have God's supernatural enablement, or grace, as it is referred to in Romans 12, 5 through 8. In this post, I want to share another perspective on our divine assignment. I find that so many times we are encouraged and told to find our assignment, but oftentimes we're not told how to find it. In the post mentioned above on assignment, I stated that it comes by revelation. We must remember, however, that while we would have an overall notion of our assignment after God reveals it to you, there are steps that we need to take to get there. It's a lifelong journey. So the next question is, how do I know that my daily activity is taking me towards my destiny? Once again, the scriptures are not silent on this, and this is the subject of today's post. The text is from Romans 12, 1 to 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice the word that in verse 2. We are committed to do certain things in verse 1 so that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is what I call the requisite. Could it be that many of us are not walking in our assignment or even know what it is because we're not fulfilling the conditions of verse 1? So let's take a closer look at this verse. We're commanded to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. We're to present our bodies in a holy and acceptable way to God because this is what God wants. The scriptures call it our reasonable service. The language of worship in the Old Testament was sacrifice. In coming to God, the worshiper brought a sheep, a bull, or a pigeon, and sacrificed it on the altar of God. In the book of Romans, Paul is encouraging us to develop a lifestyle of daily worship and a daily laying down of our lives, as long as we are, quote, living. The offering of our bodies is not the offering of our bodily parts, but our bodily behavior. This verse, therefore, means that our daily act of worship, of surrender, of focused thoughts, of godly behavior, of being separated unto God, being holy, positions us to a place where we can know His will. This is echoed in Colossians. Colossians 3:2 encourages us to seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. By focusing on God, we will have a godly perspective on things. Secondly, we are not to be conformed to the standards of this world, but instead renew our minds through the Word of God. We are to let the Word of God influence our lives. In other words, the Word of God has the power to transform our lives to His flow. A holy lifestyle and mindset and a life dedicated and sacrifice to God is the prerequisite to the ongoing revelation of what God wants for our lives. That's, to me, a key sentence there. I'm going to say that again. A holy lifestyle and mindset and a life dedicated in sacrifice to God is the prerequisite to the ongoing revelation of what God wants for our lives. Boy, that gets me. I know, so breaking away from her book or article for just a moment, but I know if you're like me, many times I've wanted the reward. I've wanted to, you know, to know what that will was, but you know, I wasn't willing to commit, you know, to do what I needed to do on my part, to repent, to dedicate myself to, you know, whatever the Lord wanted me to do. And so, therefore, God couldn't reveal what He needed me to do because I wasn't fully committed. So, a holy lifestyle and mindset and a life dedicated in sacrifice to God is the prerequisite to the ongoing revelation of what God wants for our lives. This is what positions us to hear God's instructions. Now, all of this might seem like a tall order. We almost want to ask the question, do we have to be perfect before we can know His will? Is it not impossible to live such a lifestyle? The answer is no. One thing I've learned about Christianity is that God wants us to come to Him as we are. As we do this, then He in turn will empower us. Remember, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given great and precious promises, that through these you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. That's 2 Peter 1, 3-5. I'm praying for God's grace to live a holy and sacrificial life. Won't you join me? Please read and reread the bits that speak specifically to you and pass it on to your friends. All I ask is that you include the link where they can subscribe to the newsletter. And again, if any of you would like to subscribe to this, give me a call or send me an email. But that link again is www.christianbusinessmagazine.com. The lady's name is Ola. She says, I hope that you've been encouraged and blessed by this article. Until I appear again in your inbox, stay blessed. Man, that was that's good information again. And if you think about the Bible, how many times does God give a promise, but it's conditional? You know, it's if you do this, then I'll do this. God needs to know that He can trust us, and we have to sometimes prove ourselves. I think that sometimes that you know when we encounter various tests and trials, God needs to make sure that we're committed to Him above all else, that we're not going to cave into some pressure or some temptation. And then He can, as He knows He can trust us, then many times we are entrusted with more things, not just physical things or financial things, but with more responsibilities. And if you look at the parable of talents, that's really the reward. Is not the fact that the fellow, doubled from 5 to 10 talents or from 2 to 4 talents, but that they you've been ruler over little, I'll make you ruler over much. So really the reward was more responsibility, if you think about it. So this is another article from Patrice Zague, and I'm a member of the National Association of Christian Financial Consultants, and Patrice is our chaplain. And this was an email he sent to us, Hebrews 6:15, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Giving up is allowing life's challenges and circumstances to cause you to abandon the pursuit of God's plan for your life. No one understands more about facing adversity in the midst of pursuing one's calling like Abraham. Abraham was a 75-year-old businessman who lived in Haran with his family and received a call from God to go into a strange, unknown land that God would show him. Immediately, Abraham obeyed. He took his wife, his nephew, and all his possessions with him. God made Abraham a promise for his obedience. God's promise to Abraham was this, I'll make you a great nation, I'll bless you. I'll make your name great, and you'll be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Abraham and his wife Sarah faced many challenges along their journey to realizing God's purpose for their lives. Externally, they faced famine in the land of Canaan, possible death in Egypt, war with King Chedorlaomer and his allies, and infighting with their nephew Lot. In themselves, they faced unbelief, resulting in Abraham having a child with a handmaiden. They also had to face Sarah's physical barrenness in the face of God's promise that Sarah would eventually give birth to the child of promise. The ultimate challenge that Abraham faced was when the Lord asked him to sacrifice the son of promise, Isaac. They had believed for so long for this child of promise, and now that the promise was fulfilled, the Lord asked Abraham to sacrifice the child to demonstrate his love for him. As Abraham walked in obedience to God's instructions, trusting that God would ultimately provide a lamb, he prepared to give up his son if necessary. At the right moment, the Lord provided him a ram in the bush, and the child was saved. Abraham and Sarah received the call of God at 75 years old. They overcame many challenges and received the child of promise 25 years later. Although they dwelt in tents and even purchased a piece of real estate in Canaan, they did not possess the land themselves. They passed the baton to Isaac. Although Isaac faithfully pursued the vision, he did not possess the land either. He passed the baton to Jacob, and though Jacob raised up his 12 sons and God changed his name to Israel, even he did not possess the land. God then raised up one of Jacob's children, Joseph, who continued to carry the torch and save them and the world from a great famine. But Joseph died in Egypt at an old age and left the people of Israel with a prophecy that when they left Egypt, they would take his bones with them. God then raised up Moses, who took on the charge to physically take the children of Israel, the descendants of the promise, into the promised land. And even though at the end of his life he saw the promised land with his own eyes, he does not enter in. God then raised up Joshua, who led the children of Israel into the promised land, thus fulfilling the promise that God gave Abraham that so many years previously. A simple call that began with one man's faithfulness took years of pursuit and several generations later to be fully manifested. What if they would have given up? They would not be in the nation of Israel today. I'm so glad they did not give up because we would not have their legacy of faithfulness. I'm so glad they did not give up because they now serve as an example of how to patiently pursue God's call and never give up. Although God has called you on this journey, the fulfillment of your calling will not happen overnight, nor without challenges. The greater the trial, the greater the reward, and the greater the urgency of the call. Stay the course and think beyond your lifetime because the vision God gave you may not be fully manifested in your lifetime. It may take several generations. Kingdom businesses must be built to withstand at least three generations. Your responsibility may be to lay the foundation or to carry the calling to a certain phase. If you do not give up, it will come to pass. Remember what Hebrews 11:13 says about the patriarch Abraham. Quote, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Will you live with a commitment to die in faith? In other words, even if you do not see the full manifestation of what God told you, will you die believing that God is faithful? Then Patrice says, "My wife and I have been on our own personal journey of faith for the past 12 years. It's not been easy, and we sometimes do feel discouraged, but when we consider the faithfulness of God and the fact that He gave us two beautiful little girls, we rejoice in knowing that even if we do not live to see the full manifestation of our ministry, we can pass the baton to our children and to all those who have come to believe in this vision. Like Abraham and Sarah, we believe this work will continue beyond our lifetime. We'll never give up, and don't you ever, ever, ever give up. Giving up is for cowards, and you are not a coward, but a child of the Most High God who gives us wings like eagles." That's from Patrice Sage, who is the chief servant officer of Nehemiah Project International Ministries. If you go to nehemiahproject.org, you can find out more about Patrice's ministry and about the biblical entrepreneurship courses. Well, we're just about finished up today. I want to remind all of you that, again, the name of this show is Enriching People's Lives. Please tell other people about it. Visit my website if you missed the show or would like to hear it again. If you'd like to find out more about these emails and some of the information that I've been reading, if you'd like to sign up for those things, give me a call. And again, the first person that contacts me and says they heard the show and would like to receive a free copy of the book, just send us an email or give us a call, and we'll be glad to give you a copy. That, again, it's todayswordonmoney.com. You can click the contact tab there, or you can go to sappingtoncommunications@gmail.com, or you can call us at 254-751-0565. We'd appreciate your prayers. Again, we're looking for a publisher for the book. And let us know if you know of someone that we should have on our show, someone that we should interview, a ministry or a Christian business person, someone that has a great testimony of how the Lord has directed them to conduct a business or to do any number of things. We would welcome that. We want to be a conduit so that you can find out about other Christian people that would be a blessing to you. Again, we would rather support someone who we believe we can trust because they're doing things God's way. And doesn't mean we don't make mistakes, but it means that we're quick to forgive and quick to repent. So we appreciate your tuning in. Again, keep us posted. Let us know if there's a topic you'd like us to discuss or a person that we should interview for the show. And we'd be happy to do so. So we appreciate your joining in. Again, the name of the show is Enriching People's Lives. My name is Steve Sappington. And we appreciate your joining us. We pray for you. We appreciate your prayers. We look forward to speaking with you again next week. May you have a blessed Sunday. May this year be your best year yet. Not your best year ever, but your best year yet. May the Lord richly bless you in every area of your lives. And we look forward to visiting with you next time. This is Steve Sappington saying until then, we'll talk to you on our next show. Blessings.